crucified, that was a dark and a terrible day. The sun went down in the middle of the day. Hallelujah. When he was crucified in the middle of the day, darkness was all over the earth. You see, when it comes to Jesus, it don't take a day. It was a half a day, quarter of a day. After 6 hours, everything just turned black. You see, Jesus doesn't even need a day. But we think in terms of days. But what a day that was that changed everything over the course of history. Mark is the only book that speaks of that day. And I'm sure that it was a long, miserable day. Have you ever had a day that was so long and so miserable you just wish the day was over with? I've had plenty of days like that. Days that I thought would never end. Those miserable, dark days. And I was looking forward to the next day, thinking that their promise of what was going to happen was going to be better on the next day. Amen? So I would like to look into the events of that first resurrection day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And you say, well, you know, why was that day so important? Because that day makes a difference. That day makes a difference in what happened each and every day in our lives. Amen? That day makes a difference in every day that we live. That day makes a difference as to why we are here today. Amen? If you turn your Bibles to Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, if you don't have it, we'll try to get it up on the screen. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 8. The scripture reads, when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be afraid, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I want to tell you this morning that these women represented a ministry of love. You say, well, Pastor, why are you saying a ministry of love? During the crucifixion, when you read the events of the day, it says over to the side, these women were ministering to Jesus as he was on the cross. Hallelujah. You see, all of us at some point in time need to be ministered to when we're going through trials and persecutions. Amen? Jesus is God in human form, but as a human, he needed to be ministered to. So these were ministering to Jesus as he was dying on the cross. But after he had died and he was in the tomb, they came back after the Sabbath to come minister to him again. Amen? Usually, when people go through something, we usually find people are there sometimes as we're going through it. But after a while, they're gone. We don't see them any longer. Amen? Have you ever been in a situation that while you're going through a trial or tribulation, somebody says, girl, I I'm here for you. And then when they leave you, you don't see them no more because they figured they'd done their part. They showed their face. Amen? But these women not only showed their face at the time of the crucifixion, but after the crucifixion, they showed their face. Amen? These women rested in their homes as commanded by the law. They had witnessed Jesus' death. They watched his body placed in a tomb, and they saw the stone rolled over the opening to seal his body inside. And as the Sabbath began, which is Saturday morning, these women went to their homes and they waited. And when the Sabbath ended, which was Saturday evening, they went to the store and start buying the spices and the perfumes they needed. Amen? We know that when Jesus was buried in the tomb, that Joseph and Nicodemus went and got all of the things that they need to cover the dead body. Hallelujah. They got the spices they needed to cover the dead body. Now the body has been dead. These women were getting the spices so that the body won't stink. Hallelujah. They did not want the Lord's body to stink. Amen? So they went and purchased sweet spices to anoint the body. Amen? Because their intentions on Sunday morning was to go to the tomb. For them, they showed a lot of devotion. Amen? In that society, people usually got up before dawn. They got up before 5:30. These women were up before 5:30 making their way towards the tomb. They arose from their beds and they were going to take a trip of at least 2 miles. So you can imagine that their devotion and their love for Jesus, they're carrying all of these spices and perfumes over 2 miles to get to the body so they can anoint him one last time. Amen? But as they were walking, they started to have their doubts. They started to think, well, who is going to move this stone from in front of the tomb? Amen? Scripture had it that this stone was approximately 1,000 pounds. And I don't think that these three women could move a rock or a stone of 1,000 pounds. And not only did they have to move that rock, but the tomb had been sealed. It had been sealed with the seal of Pilate. Amen? Had they known that this was done, their fear would have been even stronger. But these women still didn't let that stop them as they made their way. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but have you ever were convicted to go to do something, and as you're on your way, certain realities that you never thought about start to occur in your mind? Certain doubts and fears occur? Hallelujah. Even coming to Jesus and giving your life to the Lord, just as you're getting ready to do that, the devil is attacking your mind with certain doubts and fears that maybe I can't stay saved. Maybe I can't get away from the crowd that I'm used to hanging out with. Maybe people will not accept me. The devil is the king of doubting, putting doubts in your mind. Amen? So as these women were coming towards the tomb, doubts were filling their mind about what possibilities, what things they were going to come up against. Amen? But I want to tell you something this morning. The problem with these women as they were thinking those things, remember, it was a Sunday morning. They were still caught back in Saturday. They wasn't in Sunday. If you don't understand what I'm saying, some of us are caught back in Saturday, and we don't move towards Sunday. Come on, somebody. When the enemy attacks you, he keeps you back in Saturday, where you saw physically what you saw. knowing that on Sunday, God is going to open some doors from you, for you. He's going to roll away that stone in front of that tomb that the enemy has you placed in. Amen? You see, when Saturday dawned for these women, all they could think about is what they saw on Friday. Some of us are in situations that we can only think about what we saw Friday and Saturday, not knowing that on the dawn of Sunday that God has a new thing for you today. Amen? Amen. That stone said that it's all over, it's over, that all hope is gone, that there's no future, there's no salvation, there's no kingdom, that Jesus is dead. In our situations as we go through life, the enemy puts in your mind that there's no hope, there's no salvation, there's no Jesus. Everything that you ever wanted is gone. And we remain in that tomb that the enemy has placed us in. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that when that stone was rolled away, that stone rolled away everything that the enemy could possibly do to you. It rolled away all of the burdens that the enemy has placed in your spirit. It rolled around all the possibilities that the enemy cannot be defeated. Whatever is defeating you this morning, Jesus can roll that stone away. Hallelujah. You don't have to live in that Saturday of yesterday. We move through this world being enslaved by our sins. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm not enslaved by anything. Yes, you are. If you do something, you say, well, I can't stop. You're enslaved. You're a slave to something. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, we all got our own things that we are enslaved to before we come to Christ. You're enslaved in that tomb. Amen. So these women were moving through this world without joy, without peace, without hope, trapped, thinking that the stone is going to be there. And the problem that so many of us have is that we live in darkness of our sins. We live that we are unaware that there is something called joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. And if they knew that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive, they would have been delivered from the thoughts, the negative thoughts that they had going towards the tomb. Hallelujah. I say to you this morning that if you know that Jesus is alive, that whatever the negative thoughts in your mind this morning, you can move them. It can be moved away. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to live in bondage and you don't have to live in darkness. Amen. And in verses 4 to 6, it is a message of life. It says, but when they looked up, I just need to stop right there for a minute. You know, when we have doubts and we have fears, we don't look up. We look down. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah if you know what I'm talking about. If you've gone through some situations and you got your head down, that means that you are in some kind of depression. You are defeated. These women were defeated. But the scripture starts by saying, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Mark says, when they looked. How about us people, when we look up, we see some things that we can't see when we look down. When we look up, when we say something, our voices are going to the heavenly realm. Amen. And as they neared the tomb, they lifted their eyes and they saw that this massive stone had been rolled away. They did not know that the morning, that when they arrived that morning, that there was a great earthquake that had occurred. And an angel came to that tomb and moved that stone away. They did not know that the earthquake and the appearance of the angel frightened the guards that were sitting there, supposed to watch the stone, that they had fled in fear. And when they saw the tomb open, all they did was fear the worst. That is a bunch of negative thinking. The enemy is playing his part again. As they were walking, they feared that they wouldn't be able to open the tomb because the stone was there. Now you get there and it's open. Now there's another fear. Hallelujah. You see how the enemy works? It goes from fear to fear to fear to fear to fear. They didn't think immediately that God did something. The angels did something. They thought of another fear, that maybe the body's not in there. Amen. They were afraid that Jesus' enemy has taken his body away. They were thinking that he was subjected, that his body was subjected to greater indignities than it had already experienced. So seeing that stone being rolled away, it put a chill in their hearts. Amen. So they ran the rest of the way to go to the tomb to investigate. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a fear, and as you're walking, you have a fear that maybe it's an accident. You're going towards this accident, and then you have a fear that maybe it's somebody that I know. And you realize that it's nobody, none of your relatives, nobody that's related to you. And as you get closer and you look up, you wonder, well, maybe somebody really got hurt and they're not living. Have you ever been in that situation? That's the enemy working. One fear after another fear after another fear. Hallelujah. We don't think optimistically immediately. We start thinking of the next fear. Saints, we should not be living our lives in fear. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't know anything about Resurrection Sunday, it is this message: fear not. When Jesus was born, that was the message of the angels. Fear not. That is the message of the resurrection. Fear not. Hallelujah. When those women went to the tomb, he gave them a message of peace. He tells them to be not affrighted. Now, affrighted is not frightened. It's not scared. It means that they were struck with terror. So now you go in here and you have fear going to the stone. You have fear going inside it. You see something sitting up there. And now you're really scared. You're terrified. You're frightened. And the angel saw that they were overcome with fear. He says, do not be affrighted. But when he speaks to them, he offers them a message of peace. And he tells them, there is no need to fear. That things are not as bad as they appear to be. No, you don't see a body here, but nobody came and stole that body. You don't see Jesus lying here because he's not here. He was dead the last time you saw him, but he's not dead any longer. He is alive. He says, he is alive. Now I want you to go and tell them that he's alive. I want you to run and tell the apostles, the disciples who are sitting and hiding, that Jesus is not here, that he's alive. So the message is that things are never quite as bad as you make them out to be. Because things are not as bad as the enemy tells you that it is. Because no matter what it is, we have hope this morning because Jesus arose on the third day. You don't fear anything more than death, but Jesus has conquered death. Hallelujah. In the book of John, we spoke earlier this morning. In the scripture, Jesus says, I came to end the prince of this world. He's got to go. It's time for him to be kicked out. He said, this is the reason why I came. There is no clearer message about Jesus Christ than why he came. There is nothing clearer about that than that he succeeded and fulfilled what he came to do. Because he did it, we're conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That is the message of the cross. Amen? He gave them a message of power. He tells them he knows where Jesus is and where the disciples are. He knows that they have come looking for the body of Jesus. He confirms what they already know, that Jesus was crucified. And yes, he did die. They were not deceived by what they saw. They really did see him nailed to a cross. They really did see the blood flow from his body. They really did see him yield his spirit up. They really did see him die. They really did hear him say, "It is finished." He died, but he did not stay dead. He said he is risen. The angel wants them to know that the power of death had been swallowed up by a power that was greater than death. The angel wanted them to know that the empty tomb of the Lord was not a place of despair. Oh, don't you understand this morning that the tomb of the Lord was not a place of despair? And this thing that we despair in called death, if you are in Christ, it is no longer a place of despair. That the tomb was a place of glory. It was a place of power. It was a place of hope. That Jesus was alive. That was the message that they needed to hear, and that's the message that we need to hear this morning. That the tomb was a place of glory, a place of power, and a place of hope. That this morning, because Jesus lived, we have glory, we have power, and we have hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God this morning. Glory be to God. Glory be to God, Lord. Hallelujah. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. Hallelujah. After telling the woman that Jesus had risen from the dead, he invited them in. Take a look. Take a look. We spoke about something this morning that I also want to share with you. Some people want to say that they stole the body of Jesus. You'll hear people come up with all of these theories. Well, when you steal something, you ransack it. You get what you're going to get and you run out of there. You don't neatly place things back in order. I don't care if you go to the store to steal. I don't care if somebody comes to your house and breaks in to steal. They ransack it. That tomb was in order. Those wraps that they wrapped Jesus 2.5 times, they were over in the corner in order. They didn't just rip it off that body. It was over there neatly in order. That napkin wrapped around his head was placed over to the side. Oh, it wasn't just thrown around. It wasn't on the ground. It says it was over on the side. That shows that when they went to get that body, that everything was in order, but also When the angels came and they unwrapped him, they took their time. That they had reverence in what it is that they were doing. They respected the person called the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They knew who they was taking care of. They knew the body they was unwrapping. They knew what the resurrection meant. They knew what showing everything in decency and order meant. And even Jesus says, do everything in decency and in order. Even in his resurrection, things were done decently and in order. Oh, hallelujah. Wherever there's chaos, Jesus ain't there. Come on, somebody. If you got chaos in your life, Jesus ain't there. Jesus is full of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. When you got all of these things going on, I got a question for you. Did you ask Jesus to come in? Did you invite his presence? He don't operate in that kind of stuff. For over 2,000 years, skeptics have tried to prove that the resurrection did not take place. If the Jews had the body, if Pilate had the body, if Herod had the body, they would have put it on display for everybody to see. If the disciples had the body, they wouldn't have been hiding anywhere. body was missing because he was alive. And Jesus walked out of that tomb on that morning in eternal victory over death and the grave. Now I clue you in on that Saturday. They went on Sunday, but Jesus was busy on that Saturday. Matter of fact, he was as busy as soon as he got in that tomb. As soon as they finished wrapping him up and throwing that stone over the entrance, Jesus went to hell and he was giving hell hell. He was in hell raising hell, because Jesus went down there and he was witnessing to all those dead saints that never have an opportunity to give them lives, their lives to the Lord. He witnessed to them. When you read the scripture, it says that on that resurrection day when he arose, that the saints that were dead in Christ rose with him. I'm not making this up. It's in the scripture when you read it. It lets you know on that glorious morning when he comes to get us that we're going to arise again with him again. Hallelujah. Some of us still have that stone on top of us. We need to let God roll that stone away from our hearts. We have gotten hardened hearts. God wants to roll that stone away. This message was this stone and this resurrection was a message of liberation. It was liberating because the disciples, the very ones who spent 3 years going up and down with Jesus, was now hiding. They were hiding because they're thinking to themselves that I spent all of this time going up and down with this man, and he's dead. And he's dead. Now what am I going to do? I've left my wife. I left my family. I don't have friends like I used to have. Now what I'm going to do? Not only that, I got a mark on my head because they're looking for me. Because I know they knew that I followed this man called the Christ. What am I going to do? But when those women came back and they said, he is not there, he's alive. Oh, how liberating it was. Have you ever found something that you know to be true and people have told you it was a lie? They beat you down. They've cursed at you. They spit at you. They talked about you like you was a dog. And all of a sudden, what you said and what you believed came true? How liberating is that? How liberating is that? Some people have gone to court and been accused of things that they'd never done. And they were proven guilty. And then something came along and proved them innocent. And they were liberated. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is a liberating Lord. He liberates you from the sins of the past. You know what? Whatever you've done before, when Jesus wipes the slate clean, it don't make a difference what people think. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody's been convicted of something that they had no business being convicted of. Somebody's been falsely accused. Somebody, man, has put in a dungeon and rolled the stone over you. God is here to take that away. Oh, hallelujah. The disciples, they were liberated. The Bible said that they were amazed. When he says they were amazed, that means that their mind was displaced. When you're amazed like that, it don't mean like, oh, okay. It was a displacement. They lost their mind. Oh, hallelujah. They lost their mind. They were amazed. They lost their mind. That's why sometimes when we say praise the Lord or give the Lord praise and all the things that he has taken you through, if you see somebody who lost their mind, they losing their mind because God has brought them from something. And when you don't lose your mind, that means that you haven't really thought about the craziness that he done delivered you from. I lose my mind every now and then because I know the crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that he has liberated me from. I know the illnesses that he has liberated me from. I know the diseases that he has liberated me from. Some of us want to walk around and say, a higher power who liberates me. I'm powerless and he can and I can't. Come on, people. Come on. This power that we're talking about here today, this power in the name of Jesus Christ, I bet you power you're talking about, it can only make you stop drinking or smoking or whatever it is. Huh? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Somebody you know. Everybody in here ain't been no saint all your life. The power that you're talking about, that higher power, it can stop you from drinking. It can stop you from smoking. It can stop you from cutting up. But I want to know, can that higher power deliver you from death? You ain't got no higher power that you believe in as a man or woman that delivers you from death except Jesus Christ. And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but you come around and you be around long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because somebody, if it's not you, somebody you know, will go through something, they're going to talk about a higher power that eliminated them from smoking, drinking, or whatever it is that they needed that higher power for. But that power cannot deliver you from death. Only Jesus Christ can deliver you from death. And there's no power higher than the power of Jesus Christ. There's no power higher than the power of the resurrection. There's no power higher than the power of the cross. There is no power more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. Mark didn't tell us that they had to see anybody along the way. He told them that the angel said, go and tell the disciples. But we know that many of the disciples ran to the tomb after they were told. John looked in, saw the evidence, and he believed. Later, more of the disciples would appear. The message of these women caused even more stones to be rolled away. Isn't it something that a message that were preached over 2,000 years ago is still just as powerful today? That message of the stone being rolled away is still so powerful that people are starting to believe in the name and the person of Jesus Christ. You see, for me, when I realized that the stone was rolled away from the tomb of my life, I realized that there was a change in my life because I received it as the truth. Because when we say, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Before we say that, we say, do you believe that he died on the cross? And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And if you believe, you know what? You have an opportunity. You have a chance. There's a possibility that you can have eternal life. But if you don't believe that, there's no chance. There's no possibility. Amen? We know that when we start this new life, that it's not perfect. Amen? No life is perfect when it's new. But when you start to draw its first breath and you continue to draw a breath, you start to believe and mature that things are different in your life. What I'm trying to say to you today is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a maturation process that you must go through. You're new babes in Christ. But mature and you begin to crawl and you begin to walk, you begin to see more than you saw before. But while you're not seeing, you have to believe. Amen? You have to believe. And you know, there's a couple of things that we must always believe. And I heard a minister say that, and I didn't realize it when he said it many years ago, because I really wasn't ready for it. I'm going to tell you this. If you open the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven. Can you believe that? in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. If you can believe that, that's a start. Now you come to the New Testament, and if you can believe that God came down in the person of Jesus Christ, died on the cross, and rose the third day, you really got a chance. Amen? Because the people who don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose the third day, they're the same people who don't believe that God created heaven and earth. Amen? There's people running around still trying to prove the earth is flat. If you can believe that, they're still trying to do that. And all many atheists who believe that Jesus Christ, that there's no God and Jesus Christ was just a prophet, many of them on their deathbeds of trying to get them last minute prayers in, them last minute confessions. They understand and they know now that, well, I might have a chance to go on further if I can say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and that he did live. Don't wait to your last dying breath, because sometimes you get caught up in the middle of saying something and you're dead. Amen? The power of this empty tomb has the power to roll away the stones in our lives. It has the power to deliver us to Sunday from the Saturdays and Fridays of our life. What a difference a day makes. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.